The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slaves said to him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" He replied, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord. I feel like some of the parables that Jesus uses really don't need too much further explanation. This is one of them. I think just a simple, close reading of the text gives us what we need to hear, whether that's today or tomorrow, whenever we pick up the text again. This 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. But there are perhaps points to emphasize here, because we keep coming back, I think, in our own lives, in our own hearts, in our own lives, in the life of the world, the life of the church, to the question of, you know, why is it that God doesn't do something? What is preventing God from doing what needs to be done? And I think the first answer to that question is that God has done something, and he has done what needs to be done. He has, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, he has destroyed death and the rule. He has broken the back of the rule of sin and death. He has done that. Now what remains is for his loving rule to be fully implemented. And we're stuck in the middle period, right? We're stuck in the age of Jesus's victory over sin and death has been won, but we're waiting for its. We're not simply waiting, I should say. We're actively engaged with God as we work towards, as we await the full implementation of the kingdom of God. When we ask, why is God not doing something? And we could be referring to anything, by the way, right? We have now again renewed attention to the scandals in the church. But it could be anything when we step back and say, "God, come on, aren't we past this? Don't we, where is God in this and all the rest?" Do we really want God to quell every evil impulse in our hearts, in everyone's heart, right? Because in someone else's heart, that's fine, right? We shouldn't allow mass murder to happen. We shouldn't allow whatever to happen. But what about the places where we refuse to be ruled by God, where we refuse to Jesus's rule? Because I imagine he'd have to sweep them all away, right? And then we don't get our favorite sins anymore. You know, we don't get the pleasure of our favorite sins. We don't get the whatever that is that we get out of it. We don't get our favorite little rebellion against God. We the fall in line with God. So where are we there? Are we ready also for this? So the slaves, right? Quick, rush into the field and rip it all up. Are we ready to be ripped up there? Are we ready to be harvested there? Or is there work still that God has to do, even in my, not just simply then, like in the world and in the church, but what about my heart as well? Am I ready for harvest time? It's great. Look, if your assessment of the fact is that you're ready, then fantastic, right? God be with you. Get to work, right, bringing about his kingdom. If not, great also, right? That little room. Someone's got the red light on. I don't know why, but that little box over there where we hear confessions every week, right? Fantastic. Let's get ready for harvest time. Let's get over there. Here, we know that we're pretty patchy on, not just my beard, we're pretty patchy on the rule of Jesus. We give him that little part. Maybe it's a big part. We try to give him everything, but we give him some part of our life. We put some part of our life under his rule, but not the whole thing. And he needs the whole thing. He wants the whole thing. Every aspect of our life, every part of my heart, my desires. If you're frustrated with a long homily right now, try to bring that under the rule of Christ Jesus. Every single aspect of our life. No matter where you go today, no matter what you do today, if you are not bringing with you a heart filled and overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control, and everywhere you go, then there's another part of your life that you have to submit to the rule of Christ Jesus in preparation for harvest time, right? This is the judgment at the end of time. And we've had every warning we need. And it's not all hellfire and damnation. Actually, it's life and it's love for us, not just at the end of time, but now as we work to cultivate Jesus's rich harvest. So we can, look, God is big enough to withstand our questions. We can come to him and we can beg him that he do something, that he eradicate evil. But let's remember that he has done something, right? Let's remember that he is good. It's an enemy who did this. It's not God who sowed weeds in his wheat. It's an enemy. Let's entrust ourselves to the good God, to the God of the harvest. Let's give our entire lives over to him, that we may be part not simply of this, right, this patient love that he shows us in the cultivation of his wheat. We may be not only in that field, say, growing ourselves, growing into the kingdom of God, but also helping him to cultivate this patient love wherever we go, helping him to raise up a rich harvest of his loving rule in every corner of his creation.